This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. Okay, let's open your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy, if you would. Normally we would be going to Sweet Spirit, Wisdom, Power. It would have been the Sweet Spirit. And there was just a block. So I decided to go somewhere else. And hopefully the Lord will honor that. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to look at verse 15. Everybody in here should know it. Study. School starts. Study. But we who are through with school are not through with studying. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, school in our area started today, tomorrow, or early part of next week. When I was in school, back in the dark ages, and probably some of you, school began after Labor Day. So it began in September. And it continued until a little bit after Memorial Day, first week in June. I started at 9 o'clock, got out at 3 o'clock. And there were a lot of courses all through the day. And we got almost 3 months continuously off. That was great. I wouldn't like to go to school today because there's not very much time off. And going in August, it's early part of August, I don't know. And we learned a lot in a different format than today. And hopefully the things that were taught were right. But there was none of this indoctrination like today. We didn't get that. We didn't get revisionist history. We even had people that allowed us to and told us to read from the Bible because they tolerated it and they had some respect for it. Didn't mean they were saved. I wasn't saved. But not so much today. And there was a lot of repetition and memorization, which has been a great benefit in life, at least to me. And so I want to take the methodology of where I came from before and test it against God's Word, especially in the area of math, mathematics. And so we're going to look at some things concerning mathematics and see. I told Don, I'm giving a test tonight, and it's a test. It's a test for me and for you. So if we're going to begin this test according to Scripture, then we have to have the right foundation, right? Right foundation means that we have to be saved people. Because there's no sense in trying to teach unsaved people Bible principles when they're not saved. And so if we realize that why Christ came and what He did, and and believe that He came for us because we couldn't save ourselves. And so He did for us what we could not do and shed His blood in order that we might have everlasting life. And the shed blood paid the debt. If you don't have any debt, this church has no debt. Do you know how wonderful no debt is? I mean, there's nothing that has to come forth from here that labors or, we need more money. You guys need to give more money because we need to do that. Guy down in Port St. John says, I have 6 kids. You need to give more money. Well, who asked them to have 6 kids? You know, it's kind of crazy, but there's no debt. All right, so when you realize and you trust Christ as Savior, there's no debt. I mean, we're debtor to Christ, but there's no debt. We are not going to face the penalty of death, ever. And that's great, but it has to be in receiving Christ by faith as Savior, calling on Him in faith. And that's important. All right, so here we go. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to begin with addition. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, in school, that's what we started with. We got to subtraction and division and multiplication and so forth later. But we started with addition. And, by the way, how did you learn your math skills in addition? You started with tables, math tables. And you went through it. And you went through it again. You went through it again. And you went through it again. By the time you're through and getting sick of it, going through that, it's probably the memorization of going back and over and over and over until it almost becomes second nature. Surely you didn't learn how to do math by an adding machine or a calculator, except in this generation. And they're not learning. They lack the skills that are important. Well, I want to apply the same method in adding to our faith in the Christian life. So we go down the verse, and we even have what to add. I mean, we just don't pick an arbitrary figure or word. It says it down here in verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. All right, so here's the first one. Whether this is our Christian life faith, which I think it is, after salvation, then, you know, we're supposed to be a people that are trusting the Lord. We're to add something to that faith, and it's called virtue. All right, virtue. Virtue means basically valor or courage. Sometimes used as a military term. We're to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We're engaged in spiritual warfare. We need to have courage. We need to have valor. And we're adding then. Now, understand, you need to, I think you need to go over that and say, okay, I need to have courage. I need to have valor. I think it also has an idea of purity that's involved in there. And I'm predetermining that I'm going to live a life that not only is trusting the Lord, but what I engage in is going to be with virtue. There's going to be something behind me that has that. And once you have gone over that, and over that, and over that, again and again and again, then there's something else to add. It's not that you're done. It's not faith and virtue, and that's it. But we're to add knowledge to virtue. And that's where study comes in. That we might have some understanding and some insight as to what's going on. I don't think there can be any proper growth in the Christian life without a further understanding of spiritual realities. I think it's impossible. You can't survive in most of the churches of today and grow spiritually if there's nothing being given out, and when you go home there's nothing coming in. You can't. It's not going to happen. Yeah, the process of this is endless. And as far as you think you've come, in reality, there's so much more that you haven't even gotten to yet. I mean, it's without end. And so this is important. We are to add knowledge to virtue. Read. Obey. Memorize. Practice. Matter of fact, with the virtue, you need to practice that. And there's the virtuous woman in Proverbs. All right? Pick out the things that are there. Pick out other scripture that deals with virtue. and read that and study that and practice it. How can you master anything if you don't practice it? You can't. So we've got knowledge added to virtue, and I think, you know, you're going to repeat the same pattern in understanding. I am convinced that there is a minority of saved people that understand what the gospel really is. And when you begin talking, you hear things that signal, they send up flags and say, what are you talking about? And you need to understand what it is and what it's not. And then, of course, in the Christian life, that is important. Christian ethics, all of these things are important. But you add that after you've added virtue to your life. That I'm going to conduct this study in a courageous way. Somebody said that fear, not fear, I got it backwards. I can't say it because I can't remember it. When I mixed up two things. But it's important, and I would repeat the same pattern. Practice, practice, practice. Listen, if you can add and subtract and divide and multiply and do more, it happened because you did that. And you don't even think about it. But this, you have to do this. When we looked at verse 10 in Ephesians 2, Sunday night, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has ordained that we should walk in them. All right, how is that going to happen if you're not here in the book and you're reading and you're studying and you're memorizing and you're practicing? Then we add temperance to knowledge. Temperance is a Bible restraint. I could say self-restraint, but it has to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Right? I'm tired because I'm old, but I'm also tired of hearing, how can you say this particular thing is wrong? What does the Bible say? Where does it say that you can't do this and you can't engage in this? I try to turn those around and say, you prove to me from God's word that it's okay. Because it's on you, it's not on me. When we had our first church in Montana, there were a few, I'm not going to repeat them, but I'll use the word euphemisms that I used. And I used one of them in church and had no idea that I was doing that. And the piano player came over to me later and she said, do you know what you were saying? And I said, what? And she said, that word means something else. I've never used it again. There's a restraint there because I don't want to do something that somebody else takes in a different way. And when it's common knowledge that it means something else. So you add temperance to knowledge and then you practice that. It's very difficult. If you are, when I was running, there were certain things you did not eat before you ran. But I like those. So there has to be a decision. All right, do I consume those things and then run? Or do I forgo that and run? And the better side of wisdom is you forgo that. We don't see that in professional sports anymore. At all. And you see an awful lot of people getting hurt and careers ending earlier than probably not, because there's such an abuse. There's no restraint. There's no temperance. And many times there's no Lord either. But you add temperance to knowledge. And then, again, you practice it. And you practice it. John chapter 16. Look there in John chapter 16. We'll come back to 2 Peter. John chapter 16. And after you have added temperance to knowledge, what do you add to knowledge, to temperance? Patience. There was a mark on the side door of our van. It looked like it could have been a rock, or it couldn't have been a bullet, because a bullet would have made a hole. But it was an indentation in the side door of the van. Because when I don't know what it was, but I threw something at the van in disgust, because I couldn't control what it was that it was doing, and it made that dent. So that dent stayed with me all the years that we had that van. And Linda was very careful to say, see, because I think I might have done it right before her. But you add patience to temperance. Okay, John 16, look at verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, why did I read that? Because Romans chapter 5, verse 3 says, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Where does patience come from? From bad times, awkward times, hard times, painful times, sorrowful times. We just don't, it's not something we gravitate to, just believing people. In Philippians chapter 1, in verse 29, Philippians 1:29. There's a part of this verse that we love, and there's a part of this verse that we try to ignore. Verse 29 says, for unto you, you put your name there, is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also suffer for his sake. And that suffering builds patience. You could not be where you should be if you avoid tribulation. If you avoid pain, if you avoid sorrow, if you avoid conflict, if you avoid confrontation, and don't add patience to temperance. You can't. It's impossible. There's an order there. And you fail Biblical Edition 101, because that is a place that if you can't get beyond that, then you can't get to the end here. And in the end, of course, we want all the right answers, and we want to achieve the right end. And so we look and we add in 5 and 6, add godliness to patience. Godliness. Godlikeness. What is God like? Apart from the Word of God, you don't know. I don't know. Great many lessons are learned by patience. One is our utter dependence on the Lord, so as to not get in the way and mess it up. Because once we do, we'll mess it up. We live in an ungodly nation. It's virtually the easiest thing in the world to do, to get up one day and live an ungodly day. And to go to bed and have lived an ungodly day and go and start the next. It's the easiest thing. All you have to do is do nothing. Nothing whatsoever. You haven't added anything to patience. But it takes patience to become godly. If you do live an ungodly life, you'll never finish this test. You won't go any further. You'll get an incomplete, or worse, you'll get a zero. I mean, I'm the teacher. I'm giving this test. But I didn't set it up. The Bible set it up. All right, and then we add brotherly kindness to godliness. It's interesting where these all fall together. Brotherly kindness is consideration and respect for those who profess to belong to Christ. Now, be honest. How many of you never added brotherly kindness to godliness? or you were select. So only if they fit in where I want to go. And don't try to attach apathy to this or to brotherly kindness, neither not wanting to know anything about anybody. Godliness should lead us to brotherly kindness. I don't know how you would do it any other way. There's no shortcuts here. It's the same thing with building, and it's the same thing in athletics, old style athletics. You build on something, and then you keep going and keep going, but there's no shortcuts. We didn't one day decide, you know what, we're going to have a baseball team. Okay, let's buy uniforms for everybody. And you get gloves, we'll buy you gloves. Get some cleats, and we'll go out there and we'll set up a schedule and we'll play. You had to do something. You had to train. You had to do exercises. And you had to get in shape. All of those things followed before you could do anything. All of these things follow one after another, just like math. Because we're going to be done here with addition in a second. All right? And then charity, brotherly kindness. Charity is divine love, which only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, the Holy Spirit's control over you will lead you to score 100% in math, but nothing else will, because you cannot do this on your own. When we look at a Bible quiz and how we measure up the way, if we attach this to math, there is no way you and I can do this. And more than likely, we will skip some. Say, I don't like that one. I'm going to jump over that. I like this other one. You can't do it. There's an order. And it's a command. To whom? All believers. You a believer? Then you need to do this. All right. Then after we learned math, we got subtraction. And subtraction after addition. We had the subtraction tables, and they were monotonous as addition tables, but they were monotonously essential. I'm saying a lot of this not because I have a mathematical mind. I don't think I have a mathematical mind. I have a mind that learned when I was young. And so I will figure out, I've done homework with Miley and Addie, and you go to stores, and things register in my head with numbers because of what I learned when I was young, and just continued with that. Sometimes have you ever given extra change so that what you get back is even, and watch the face of some of these people that are at registers. And they just look at that. Now, of course, the registers do everything for them. You know they can't think of what it is because they don't have that basis. So subtraction after addition. So go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And look at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Lay aside every weight. There are weights in our lives. The verse is saying there are weights. You've got them, I've got them. They're not our body weights. Well, it could be body weight, but I think it's more than that. So we are to lay aside everything that has no value to our spiritual growth. It means nothing. Other than we necessarily want to hold on to it. But if we're going to be successful in subtraction, we're to lay aside every weight. And for all of those can be all different things. What is easy for you may not be easy for me. What's easy for me may not be easy for you. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, And look at verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. If there's an appearance of evil, subtract it from your life. Well, what if somebody thinks wrongly of that when it's not really wrong? Abstain from the appearance. Didn't say it was evil, but just the appearance of it. In 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 13, great passage dealing with separation, but separation is subtraction. All right, verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Subtract those things, subtract those people from your lives. In Romans 16, 17, you don't need to turn there, but it's the same thing, dealing the same thing with doctrinal things. Important doctrinal things. Not preferences, but doctrinal things that cause divisions. And we haven't hit divisions yet. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 22, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. We put off the behavior, the mannerisms of the old man, the flesh. We can put them off. All right, so in subtracting, I'm putting aside weights that have nothing to do with my spiritual growth. I make sure that there is no appearance of evil. I'm trying to subtract from being unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do you not think that takes practice? Yes, it does. It takes effort. It takes concentration. It takes restraint. And doctrinally as well. And the old nature? I am the old nature. And yet I'm not the old nature. And the old nature, if it was in control, wouldn't have been here tonight. It just wouldn't come. Because it doesn't need to put on a show. It just is the old nature. And at the same time, be very careful with the mindset of cult. That only we are right. Because we're not. There's a lot of other people that are right. We don't even know about them. I hope we're right. But we're not the only ones that are right. And when we start feeling that way, then we'll become very judgmental, and we're going to open ourselves up to some false theology that will just creep right in, and the next thing you know, we're driving down that road. Subtraction. There's some things in our lives that we need to subtract. And as subtraction was a little bit harder than addition, so these things are a little bit harder than addition too. Spiritually speaking. Because they're saying these are things from, and we just learned things too, but they go hand in hand, they go together. Subtraction and addition. All right, here's one. Acts chapter 6, multiplication. I'm not far enough removed from school, education-wise, that I was so glad when we got through addition and subtraction, and then I heard this word, multiplication, and everything became different. And instead of adding one plus three or two plus two, we were timesing it. And what did we do? We had to learn a multiplication table. And in all likelihood, the better part of that multiplication table was memorized. That's how you learned it. That's how you're able to do these things today. It baffles me that we have an education system that is now in place that says, oh no, we're not going to do that. That was all wrong. We have to have creative mind thinking. Creative mind thinking. That door either opens or it shuts. What kind of a creative mind would say you have to know something more about that door than it opens and shuts? It doesn't make sense. So Acts chapter 6, multiplication. And this is just as important as all the others. Verse 1, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So there was something going on in the early church where the number of disciples were being multiplied. It wasn't 1 plus 1, it was 2 times 2 and 4 times 2 or 4 times 4, 6 times 6, and on it went. Everything was multiplying more rapidly than you could add. It was easier to figure in multiplication than in addition. There was a great increase added by multiplication. And look at verse 7. And the nation to whom... And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And so here we got a connection to the word of God. The word of God is increasing, and people are multiplying in service to Christ as a result of that. And so now we're not dealing with added addition and subtraction in small numbers. We're multiplying to get in larger numbers. How many people were saved at Pentecost? 3,000. It would be tedious to go 1 plus 3, 4 plus 7, and get up to 3,000. And how many were saved in, let's see, that was Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4. How many were saved in Acts chapter 4? I think it was 5,000 men. All right, so you see things are changing there. After the death of Herod in Acts chapter 12, look here. Acts chapter 12, in Acts 12:24. But the word of God grew and multiplied after Herod was killed. The word of God grew, again, the connection is with the word of God, and multiplied over and over and over again. You've heard this, I'm sure, but if I were to go out and, we'll just do it this way, and witness to Charlotte, and Charlotte would get saved. And then tomorrow, Charlotte went out and witnessed to George, and he got saved, and I witnessed to Joel, and he got saved. Then we have 4. And the next day, 4 go out and become 8. And 8 go out and become 16. The entire population of the world would be 1 in 33.5 days. Because the more people are going out and winning people to Christ, and they're going out and winning people to Christ, everything continues to multiply. Multiply is essential to growth. It's important to growth. And we're talking spiritually here. 1 and 2 Peter talks about, in the first couple of verses, about peace being multiplied to the readers and to the hearers. What is one of the many important things that's missing in the society of the world today? Peace. People are not at peace. Many believers are not at peace. When we have all the equipment for being in peace, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. How simple is that? Well, that's actually kind of hard because of the world and the old man. But these are things that are important to multiplication. All right, and the final one, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, division. Division is a split or a gap in dealing with the whole. All right. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's look at verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, talking to the believers at Corinth, the church at Corinth, by the name of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. One of the blessings, one of the greatest blessings I'm speaking for all of us, I may speak without knowledge, but of this local church, is that we seem to be of the same mind. And Paul's warning this church, look, this is not, when you start doing this, you have a group that is not part of the whole. They've moved from that position. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. He digs in a little deeper with these people. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So why did he say that? Because there were divisions. There were just divisions in there. And how can you grow when there's divisions like that? The Corinthian church had not passed addition yet. Forget subtraction and multiplication. They hadn't even passed addition. They couldn't pass the test. There was no brotherly kindness there. Hey, I'm a follower of Paul. Everybody knows he's the greatest apostle of all. And then the others said, well, no, the Lord is. Who are going to follow the Lord? And then you get the other two, Peter, and who's the other one? Paulus. And so they all picked their favorites and said, that's who I'm going to follow. It's like going on television and saying, you know, I like this guy. I like this guy so much, but I can't stand these other guys. And as a matter of fact, the local church I go to doesn't even compare to that guy on TV. The guy on TV is not your friend, in all likelihood. And your local church may not be your friend either. But if it's giving out the word, it's the greatest friend you have. Amen. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And look down here, and getting toward the end of the chapter, verse. Let's go with verse 49. Luke 12, 49. I am come, the Lord is speaking, to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. What is he talking about? Truth versus error. Look what the truth did in Jerusalem and in Christ's 3.5 years ministry. What did it do? It divided. I mean, it split families. And the truth today does the same thing. After I got saved, I tried to tell my folks. I tried to tell my friends. I even wrote letters. I sent all kinds of material. And my folks just thought I was on another, this is whatever. You know, you're just tuned into something else. You're being manipulated by your wife. She's making you do these things. No. And you know what it did? If there was already a chasm in our family, it got bigger. And all the people I thought were friends, I've never heard from them since. And probably they think, you know, unless they got saved, I'm just one of the crazies. Or you're one of them. Type thinking, you know. Truth versus error. Very important that we understand what the truth does. And if you want to win people, you can't soften the truth. You can't make it harder. You just tell the truth like it is. And some people are going to believe and they're going to come alongside, and some people aren't. And it's unfortunate there's many more of the aren'ts than the are's. But it's where we live. It's where the truth has always lived. How many people did the Lord have with him at his death? But we think, no, we've got to have hundreds and tens of thousands of people, you know, on our side. No, all you need is the truth and the Lord. That's all you need. you give it out. All right, so mathematical test. Spiritually speaking, how did you do on your spiritual math test tonight? Can you remember where you came from physically? Can you remember where you came from spiritually? The same things you had to do when you were young in order to learn how to use the things you have today is the same thing you have to do spiritually to learn to do the things you have today spiritually. There is no shortcuts. And anybody that tells you there is wrong. You have to learn. You have to memorize. You have to practice. And anything less is a zero. I hated zeros. I hated F. Whatever. Back then it was E. Now it's F. Pretty soon it'll be G. You know, who knows? But listen, kids are going to school. Teachers are teaching in school. And we never leave school. We're in the school of God's Word. And we need to learn and continue to learn and grow and grow and grow. And pass all these tests. They're important. Let's pray. Father, we are beyond being grateful or saying we're grateful. Father, I hope that we show you how grateful we are for what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have given us everything. Not only is your word all sufficient, but our Lord is all sufficient. And this word is all sufficient. There is nothing lacking. We just need to go to work. We need to study. And there's no harm, there's no loss of faith by going back to verse 5 of 2 Peter and starting with faith and begin adding virtue. And practice it until it becomes part of us spiritually. And then adding to that valor, knowledge. And on it goes. We all have to start somewhere. It's not how we start, it's how we finish that matters. And so we come before you asking you to impress upon us the need for study because of the great results that come. I pray you dismiss us tonight with your blessing, safety as we go to our places, opportunities taken, and hopefully with great spiritual results, and that our lives will be conformed more to the image of your Son tomorrow than they were today. Have your way in all that we do here. I pray that we'd continue to bathe each other in prayer, and as we go our ways, we look forward to Sunday, if not before, be with those who we spoke to of earlier that could not be here, and just bless their souls as well. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay for the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.